Jamila, we bring greetings from Maputsing in Lesotho, the Evangelical Church of Southern Africa. Thank you for your prayer support over the past 6 years. We have been travelling to Lesotho, and most recently we were there in March and April. As you can see, I am wearing a blanket. This is a Basotho blanket, which many people wear, especially dressed up, but even the shepherds wear them when they're out on the fields. And if you've seen the Black Panther movie, you'll know that it's from that. we have seen God's hand in action as we work there, and we're going to do a quick recap of some of the work we do in Lesotho and the country itself. Lesotho is an independent country, totally surrounded by South Africa. It's a country of about 2 million people, the vast majority of whom call themselves Christians. It is has one of the lowest life expectancies in the world due to HIV/AIDS, with over 20% of the adult population infected. The average age of death is estimated to be 53, whereas in Australia it's 82. We stay in a place called Maputsing, which is a farming community in the southwest of the country. The capital is Maseru, and there's a few other spots that we regularly visit. We're based in Maputsing, and there is an organisation, a Christian organisation, known as Growing Nations, which teaches conservation agriculture. The course is called Farming God's Way, because it's based on biblical principles as well as good science. In March, we were involved in the celebrations of Growing Nations' 10th anniversary. The celebration gave an opportunity to showcase Growing Nations and its work. Many different groups of people were invited to share this time, national politicians, government officials, church leaders and farmers, even the King was invited. Their presence and expression of thanks was validation of the work that Growing Nations have been doing over there in Lesotho for the last 10 years. Over 500 people were present, and all were fed the Basotho way, with a cow and a sheep slaughtered for the occasion. And they're very used to feeding large numbers of people. Unfortunately, Barry Mann, the unit leader of African Inland Mission in Lesotho, and his wife Heather, the CEO of Growing Nations, had to return to the UK just days before the celebration due to Heather being diagnosed with breast cancer. This has required the Basotho senior staff at Growing Nations to step up, take more responsibilities as leaders, but Barry and Heather have been training them to do this leadership way for the past few years, and so they're going very well and they've taken over the responsibilities well.
Right at the beginning of our time with Growing Nations, 6 years ago now, we were asked to be involved in mentoring young pastors who were at the beginning of their ministry. And this is on the site here is Matipi Rentimo, who we got to know at a place called Mount Morosi in the south of Lesotho, and he's with his wife Bernice and their three children. And the other is Tulo Mosanoli, who was at Maraca Bay, which is located right in the centre of Lesotho, very high up in the mountains. Both these men are graduates of the Marija Theological Seminary in Lesotho. That's a seminary run by the Evangelical Church. And after their studies, they'd studied farming at Growing Nations and were applying that in their communities to use as an adjunct to their ministry, teaching people how to farm as well as teaching the gospel in those places. But their journey's been an interesting one from the beginnings of their ministry. It's been marked by struggles to win the hearts of the people, who are mostly poor and superstitious subsistence farmers, and win their hearts for the gospel. Even though these people are nominally Christian, they really don't, it doesn't go deep into them. When life's hard and uncertain, as it is in Lesotho, death is always near. People hold on to what they know, and what they know is what their ancestors know, their parents knew, and their grandparents knew, and that's the spirits and the ancestors which they believe control their lives, either directly or indirectly. And these pastors, in dealing with that, have had to deal with significant spiritual attack, which has impacted them and even their children, as the evil one has attempted to divert them from their mission. All through these trials, they've shown a deep trust in God and a commitment to faithfully and fearlessly serving his people. They've not wavered. They've asked us for help, for advice. Well, what could we say? What do we know about that? But the Bible does speak to it, and that's where the Bible is so helpful. We don't know, but we model ourselves on Jesus, and we look what Jesus did. And what did Jesus do? He commanded the spirits in his name to go. He didn't enter into conversations or discussions or rational argument with these spirits. He just commanded them to go. See, Christ has had a victory over evil. Christ has defeated the evil one. And that victory is ours. And that victory is also belongs to the Christians in Lesotho. And they need to take it. During one of these conversations in Matipi's garden, a snake, a venomous snake, slithered across the grass. Julie and I were sitting there talking to him. There's this snake coming across, straight at us. Anyway, Matipi got his stick and killed it. But we didn't think too deeply about it. But a snake in the garden is something is very great interest. In Maracabi, the spiritual battle was not quite as intense as Matipi faced in many ways. But there were issues surrounding circumcision schools. And circumcision schools just sounds almost innocent, but it's when young people, typically about 14 or 15, separately girls and boys, but mainly boys, they go up into the mountains and they might camp there for a couple of months. And there's a whole bunch of animistic and traditional rituals they go through, including circumcision. In the past, these things have caused great harm. Less so now because governments have stepped in and regulated a lot of things that happened. But it wasn't unknown for young boys to go up and never come back. So it was pretty tough and pretty rough. And Tulo also had to deal with people in the congregation alleging someone cursed someone else and caused the death of their husband and things like that. So interesting pastoral situations. In the last few years, they've both moved from these remote locations to more populous and fertile farming areas in the lowlands in northwest Lesotho. Tulo's gone to Laribi and Matipi to Kana. Though these congregations are larger and more economically prosperous, people still have their spiritual struggles, and Tulo and Matipi have had to confront serious issues from time to time. Matipi runs an all-night healing service on the last Friday of each month. That would have happened a night or so ago. Which is attracting hundreds of people from all over Lesotho. They come and spend the night from sunset to sunrise in a cold and poorly lit hall. Julie and I attended part of one of those services. We didn't stick it out the whole night.
It's all in Lesotho.
Yeah. But they hear God's word, they sing praises, they give thanks for answered prayer, and they pray for healing, physical healing, spiritual healing and communal healing, looking for reconciliations in the community. In Laribi, Tulo's had to deal with issues relating to drug use. Marijuana apparently grows quite well up in the mountains, and some vandalism by senior boys at the adjacent boarding school that the church runs. And as well, they've had to deal with the deaths of two schoolgirls in very suspicious circumstances from their branch churches. So amongst all these pastoral challenges, we've seen how those two men, over these last 6 years, have really grown in ministry over all this time. They teach and model God's work and live godly and useful lives. Among the darkness, they and their families are blazing with the light of the gospel. They really are strong. Matipi's outstation's about 5K from where his main church is. And there's a church building with walls but no roof. People built the walls about 14 years ago and they meet there. The chairs are stored in a shed nearby. They bring them out. On a day like today, it would have been very pleasant in that place. The walls would have kept the breeze off. There's a bit of a sun trap in there. It would have been really nice. When it rains, they a little bit. They rug up in their blankets. But when it snows or when it rains hard, there's no church that day. So they've raised some money for the roof, but they need a bit more.
We have also a close working relationship with Joshua Ramtley, a senior staff member of Growing Nations. Joshua, some of you might remember that he visited here in early 2012, and he's a very remarkable, mature and insightful Christian man with a real heart for his people and particularly young people. His primary roles at Growing Nation are to mentor the resident students past and present and to teach and oversee the training of these students. Another significant role is his youth work, which is basically paid for by William Carey Christian School here in Australia. He does this through devotions at Bethesda, 3 mornings a week, and 2 mornings at Maputsing Primary each week. He also leads after-school Bible studies each week and almost every day for these two schools. And you can see there's about 40 or 50 primary children that come along each afternoon. And they'll also be going on the camp when we return in September. Joshua has also been elected a chairman of the board at Bethesda High. This involves a lot of important work dealing with issues of community teacher incompetency, increasing community support for the school and putting in place governance to prevent inappropriate teacher behaviour, which they've had difficulties over these past years, and found out just recently. He also trains a local soccer team. As you can see, they're all in Rovers shirts. No one's looking anxious or thoughtful. So from Connell's Point, Rovers team. We also support the men and mentor Joshua in his work and regularly collaborate with the two camps for the primary and high schools which are coming up. This also involved training interested resident students in children's and youth ministry work, which has been a great blessing. We've seen some of these people go back to their own communities and doing children's work there. Another pastor we're encouraging is Ezekiel Molitzani, and he's the pastor of the Maputsing Church, where we attend, Lesotho Evangelical Church of Southern Africa. And he also works for Growing Nations teaches Farming God's Way to farmers out in their own villages.
Yes, the church we attend is just there. It's really nice. It's only a small church, but like a lot of churches in Lesotho, they've got an almond tree outside. Not sure why, but really nice and blossom when it's blossom time. Now, there's about 24 people. This is the Growing Nation staff together with the resident students, and there was a visiting mission team from America, there that was taken in April. There's about 24 people currently in the Growing Nation staff at Maputsing, and we are involved heavily with a lot of things and with them. Every weekday morning, everyone at Maputsing Mission gathers for a Bible study. We study the Word and pray together, prepare for the day, and often it's just about that spot in the especially if it's sunny, and that's a great place. Just about everybody has a chance of leading the discussion. We work through a Bible book, some of those are really interesting. And we have an opportunity of being there just to help people to really read the passage well and get a lot out of it, listen to what the passage is saying rather than just use the passage as a slogan for some particular point. We also encourage the staff in their work and provide advice and practical assistance when we can. It struck me when we had Alex and Jeanette here, one of the things that we've been asked to do, especially the young men, they come up to us and ask us for advice and affairs of the heart and things like that. And Julie sort of, I think they feel they can ask Julie and talk about it. And you get to know the politics of marriage and what goes on and things like that. And the cost of marriage. And
Jeanette, you know, would be worth $10,000.
Oh, more than that. Much more, right? Much more. Look, she's been high school educated, university educated, and she's got a job. I reckon it'd be in the 15 to 20 cows. And I'm not joking, right? That's real. Now, they're pretty realistic, these people. You don't have to provide all the cows at once. They run a down payment scheme. So you've got to come up with at least one cow, one real cow, before the wedding. The bride's family would insist on seeing at least one real cow. Like, they'll take a promise, but they want a deposit. And often that cow is then used in the ceremony. And then the negotiation about when the other cows come, well, that can be done later in life. But these are things that... And young men have got to figure this out. And so it's real. But that's charming in a way, too. The resident students are part of that gaggle of people there. They're young, typically late teens, early 20s, and from generally poor subsistence farming families. There's about 10 each year who come to Growing Nations campus at Maputsing for a 10-month residential program that starts in about August and runs, sort of follows the growing season. The planting, preparing for planting in August, planting later in the year, then follows that through. They're taught farming God's way, transformational development and biblical studies. And we were asked to develop some courses in leadership and in discipleship. Leadership to help them be, the resident students, be effective in influencing others in their community. Now, Africa is very hierarchical, right? People take orders from the elders, right? So I'm probably the oldest here. No, Ian. Ian would be our boss tonight. And that's the way it runs. So it's very difficult for young people in their early 20s to come into a community and influence people. So we developed a leadership course from the Bible, training people to be servant-hearted leaders and helpful in influencing them, others in their community. The discipleship course was really to help them live lives that reflect their trust in Jesus and hope in Jesus. They are children of the day, children of the light. And how do you live as a child of the light in Africa? That's a challenge. It's a challenge to live like children of the light in Australia, but it's very hard in Africa, where so much darkness abounds. We've been keen to do that, and we've been fortunate the resources. This is an Africa Bible commentary. It was published a few years ago. It's a commentary of the whole Bible, and it's been written by about 70 African scholars, theological scholars, and it's been endorsed by people like Rick Warren and John Stott. It's a good book, and really helpful, giving an African view of Scripture and looks at it. It's based on good teaching. It's not a weird book, but they have different ways of looking at some of these passages. And in that, there's also about 100 different articles on different issues, like dreams. In the commentary on Daniel, there's a whole section on dreams and how dreams affect people and how dreams that God uses dreams. It's something that's important to them. So this discipleship course has been well received. It was based on the book of Ephesians and has been given by Joshua to both resident students and the staff. Now, we visit with as many past and present resident students as we can to encourage them in both their farming efforts and their Christian walk. And over the past 6 years, we've made contact with about 50 students. It's important to do this because once they're away from the campus, they face many challenges that can limit the effectiveness of what they've been taught. Peer and parental influences are not always helpful, and their own motivation to persevere in the face of difficulties can easily waver. There's a lot going on in their lives that can be difficult. The crops might fail because of drought. Their crops might fail because someone lets their cattle and sheep and goats wander all over them and eat the crop. Their parents might say, you need to quit this and go off to South Africa and get a job, something like that. In reality, quite a few drift away and don't apply, at least at the moment, what they've learned. We hope they'll come back at some point and do that. But there are others who really applied the knowledge and with faithful and committed work make a difference to both their own lives and that of their families. Through funding provided by some Canadian donors, two students from each year's student cohort have been given the opportunity to spend a year working overseas. Up until recently, it was been in Canada and the US, working in a farming or some aid providing setting. But this year, the two people who are going, it's Madula and Sepang. Madula's off to Cambodia, which is a new thing, and Sepang will be going to Canada. So we're looking forward to seeing how that works out. We also visit, and we encourage the students to visit, people in the community like Mapalani. She's now 98 years old and had a fall earlier in the year and is now basically bedridden. She's a lovely, godly woman and basically now is waiting to be with her Lord. But up until a few years ago, she was very active, caring for her own family and some neighbouring orphans. In Lesotho, there are many orphans. It's incredible. Mostly due to the really high incidence of HIV in the adult population. People die of AIDS daily. There are enormous numbers of children growing up with either no parents because their parents are dead, or their parents are absent, working in other parts of Lesotho or in South Africa. That's pretty common. That's a real challenge.
So there are challenges in growing strong Christians and developing church leaders. The underlying problem is that they trust in ancestral worship and witchcraft. Their gods are local and they see them as more powerful. For many, Christianity is just a thin veneer and they have no real deep understanding of the Bible and the transformation message of the gospel. So future ministry areas that can be focused on, and there's a real need for training youth in discipleship and youth work and children's work, improving Bible reading and understanding, and modelling Christian service in their local communities. And Joshua has done a lot of work in this, and we hope that he will continue to encourage and also strengthen and build up people to do more of that. So please pray for the training of youth as godly leaders. A Bible study leadership course suitable for young people to be designed, accepted by pastors and then taught, and new funding for Growing Nations, which is ending the end of next year after the Canadian consortium pull out, and Madula and Sepang going overseas. And we say Kelly Bolla.